Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you this morning because you first loved us. And when you were on the cross, you had every one of us on your mind. And in fact, Lord, before you came to the cross, you had the names of everyone that would believe that you had chosen. Before the war began, you had our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Lord, we give you praise and glory for that. Not only did you go to the cross, but you blasted out of that grave. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And we have the power of his resurrection in our lives now. Lord, we love you. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. Hallelujah. And everybody says,
amen.
Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Well, you know, last Friday, you know, those of you who were here, we preached on the, you know, the subject of, you know, being free from sin, you know, so that's, I just wanted to sing that song and all that, you know, and so forth. But let's shake things up a little bit here this morning. Amen? Amen? Let's shake things up a little bit. Amen? You know, well, some of you are used to going to church and, you know, no shaking, no moving, you know. And maybe some of you came to church today. We love you for coming. You know, it's a resurrection day and all, you know, so, but let's shake things up a little bit. Amen? Praise God. Well, I want the church to be with me throughout this message. Amen? So if I say something that makes you excited, I want you to shout hallelujah. Well, let's try that. Let's see if we can get some practice. Well, Jesus arose from the dead. That sounds good. Praise God. Hallelujah. And when he arose, the Bible says he led captivity captive. That's right. The very things that kept you bondage, the power of the devil that kept you bondage, Jesus took it captive instead to set you free. So he led captivity captive, but then he gave gifts unto man. Hallelujah. And one of the first things he did when he resurrected, he said, wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard from me, that should come. Tarry ye, and ye shall be endued. And every, you know, endued with power from above. And every time, you know, that, you know, I'm reminded because the world is celebrating the resurrection and so forth, you know, of the Lord Jesus. Of course, you know, I celebrate his resurrection every day of my life. Amen? Amen, somebody. Because if Jesus were still in the grave, then my faith would be dead. The life that I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. So we celebrate his resurrection every day, you know, and so on. But, you know, today, you know, we celebrate as well, you know, and all that, you know. So, but every time I think of it, I think of the promise of the Father. Hallelujah. The promise of the Father that came with a rushing mighty wind. Amen? And it came with fire in the house. Praise God. Hallelujah. So today, I'm going to preach on free the fire. See, because the Lord has put a fire inside every one of you that has received the Holy Ghost. See, but the fire is bottled up. You know, so we're going to shake some things up. Amen? Praise God. And, you know, God is fixing to change some things. And you're going to begin to see some things right here in this church. Amen? Praise God. You know, because I've been seeking the Lord, you know, all week long, just praying and, you know, and then God said, well, you know, I'm fixing to do something. And I said, well, I know it. Amen. Praise God. So let's start here in Luke chapter 12. Turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 12 is where I am going to start. And I am going to read just a couple of verses from starting at verse 49. Jesus said, I am come to send fire on the earth. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
That's right. And what will I if it already be kindled? See, so he came to set some fire. He came to shake up some things, stir up some fire and so forth like that. You know, and he said, look, I've got a baptism to be baptized with. And oh, I am strengthened until it be accomplished. And he said, look, you know, I've come to start a fire. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, of course, on the day of Pentecost, you know, that fire came down like cloven tongues. The Holy Spirit, you know, He came. You know, fire is depicted in the Bible many times, used to represent the Spirit of God and the very essence of God. You know, we find that throughout the Scriptures. You know, throughout the Scriptures. We find in the book of Revelation where it talks about, you know, there were seven lamps of fire. And these were the seven spirits of God. We find in other places where it talks about God coming down in that fire. You know, and so forth. So, I'm just going to read a couple of those, you know, and then I'm going to say some things that the Lord wants me to say. Exodus chapter 24. And I'm going to read verse 17. Well, let me start at verse 15. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire. Can somebody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
On the top of the mount, in the eyes of the children of Israel, you know, and so on. So, you know, the very presence of God was like devouring fire. The very, very presence of God. And of course, many of you may remember the story in Exodus chapter 3, when the Lord appeared to Moses in the fire. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire, out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. You know, so we see the many dramatic appearances of God, like firelight. You know, and sometimes he would say, like, you know, even in Ezekiel, he say even his wheels were fire. You know, and he had fire around him and all that. You know, so now what does all that mean? His very presence, the very presence of God, you know, emanates not only light but fire. You know, now, what that means is this. You know, God doesn't appreciate or want any lukewarmness. Amen?
Amen?
He wants people to be fired up. Because that's what His very nature is all about. You know, that's what His very nature is all about. You know, I'm going to tell you something too. You know, some of you were fired up once before. Perhaps when you first knew the Lord. You know, maybe when you first received the gift of the Holy Ghost. You were fired up. And then pretty soon, you know, here's what happens. You know, pretty soon the cares of this life, you know, and so forth, and all the things that you got to do, you know, begin to creep in, you know, begins to creep in, and a little slumber, a little folding of the arms, and then pretty soon, you know, you go to sleep, you know, the fire begins to go out. Now, how many of you know that fire needs fuel?
Amen.
To burn. You know, if you the fire doesn't have any fuel, you know, it's going to go out eventually. The classic story in Matthew 25 of the 10 virgins that went out to meet the bridegroom, they all had their lamps and they had oil, and the lamps were burning initially, you know, but because the bridegroom tarried long, took a long time to come, you know, they all, including the wise and the foolish, they all slumbered and slept. How many of you know that story?
Yeah.
That's right. You know. But at midnight, when there was a cry given that, hey, the bridegroom is coming, so they woke up and trimmed their lamps and shook up some things. You know. And then they found out that the lamps had gone out. Of course. You know. So, but the ones that had extra fuel poured in the lamps. Crank up the fire again. Hallelujah, somebody.
Yeah.
God has fuel for us too. You know, it's kind of like the word of God, you know, prayer and fasting and so forth like that, you know, and walking in the light and getting closer to God and hearing His voice. These are the things, and you know, and these are the things that, you know, bring fuel to that lamp, and also, you know, witnessing for Christ. Hallelujah. Bearing His shame, going beyond the camp. Can I get an amen on that? Well, that's an area where a lot of the people in the church are not comfortable anymore, you know. People are just comfortable coming to church, relax, you know, let the praise team sing some awesome songs, you know, and let us shout the victory and praise the name of the Lord and dance in the spirit or whatever, you know. Well, I don't even see a lot of dancing in the spirit, but, you know, whatever goes on, you know, and then when we leave, we forget, you know. So, but God's fixing to shake up some things. Amen. In fact, when the Lord, he told John on the Isle of Patmos in the book of Revelation, he said, I want you to write these letters to the seven churches of Asia Minor. And the Lord began to tell them, and he had some rebuke for most of them. You know, he had some words of praise for some of them. You know, he had some words of praise for the Ephesian church. You know, but he said, look, you know, you have left your first love. You know. So you better return to that first love. Amen, somebody. They used to be on fire. But they had forgotten that and they had left that and they wandered away. Turn with me to the book of Revelation. And I'm going to read from chapter 2. The first few verses from verses 1 through 3, he praised them for all the things they did. This is the church of Ephesus. And then in verse 4, he said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works again. And if I may so say, this morning, crank up the fire again. Free that fire from inside of you again. Hallelujah. Oh yes, you know, don't go to sleep on the Lord now, you know. In fact, he told the sleeping church of Revelation chapter 3, the Laodicean church, you know, here's what he told them in verse 14 of Revelation 3. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, these things write. You know, this thing saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Hallelujah, somebody. Or did not the Bible say that we are created in Christ Jesus, a new creation? Oh yeah, and he's the beginning of that, you know, firstborn among many. Amen. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Well, I would that you were either cold or hot. See, he doesn't like this business of in between. You know, be cold and let's know that you are cold. In fact, he said, he that is holy, let him be holy still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And there's coming a time that God's going to fix that. You know, there's not going to be this wishy-washy in and out, going and so on. Amen? Yeah. But he said, look, I don't want you to be cold. I don't want you to be lukewarm, he said. He said, because you are neither cold nor hot, but you are lukewarm. He said, I would rather you are either cold, so we know you are totally against the Lord, or you are all fired up. That's hot. But because you are lukewarm, he said in verse 16, and neither cold nor hot, therefore I will spew you out of my mouth, he said. My goodness. You know, that lukewarm water doesn't taste very good in his mouth. You know, he said, I'm going to spew that out. You know, and how does that lukewarmness creep in? Well, here's how it creeps in. You know, materialism. You know, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. You know, so, you know, rich and increased with goods, that's their focus now. You know, that's what they focus on. You know, so pretty soon, you know, everything begins, you know, any even knowledge of God that they had begin to creep away, you know. And they said, well, I have need of nothing and all of these things. And all. Jesus said, look, you know not that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind and naked. Now, that's not a good place to be. Amen. I counsel of thee for you to buy of me gold dried in the fire. Now that's that fire again. You know, he wants that fire. Oh my goodness. Praise God. Well, turn with me to, I'm not going to preach very long today. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 6. Leviticus chapter 6. And let's take a look at what, you know, of course, many of the things that God showed in the Old Testament, they were a shadow of things in the New. You know, a pattern of things in the New and so forth. So, here in Leviticus chapter 6, He's going to tell them, you know, and depict this fire. So let's start from verse 9. Command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is a burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night long until morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning on it. And then I'm going to jump to verse 12. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. And this fire shall be ever burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Can I get an amen on that? Well, I'll tell you something right now. The fire has gone out in many places. All is going out. You know, and Jesus says, strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. You know, because, you know, the fire is going out. But what is the, what makes the fire to keep burning? Well, here it is in verse 12. He said, the priest shall burn wood. That's the fork that he needs. Going to burn wood on it every morning. Hello? You cannot depend on yesterday's testimonies and the great things that God did yesterday. Well, thank God for the great things he did yesterday. But today is another day. Hallelujah. You can't say, well, I was baptized with the Holy Ghost 10 years ago. I speak in tongues. I do all of these things. Well, that was then. But this is now. Hallelujah. Is your fire still burning today? In fact, how many souls have you won to the Lord since last week? Hello? How many people have you testified to the Lord? How many sick have you healed? Because Jesus said, go freely. You have received, freely give. Cleanse the lepers. Heal the sick. Raise the dead even. Cast out devils in my name. Hallelujah, somebody. You know, well, once, perhaps some of you, when you receive the Holy Ghost, I don't know about this generation, but I know that in my generation, you know, many of the people who are sitting here, when once they first received the Holy Ghost, they joined out in the name of the Lord and did the same things that were in the book of Acts. Well, are you still doing that today? Or has your fire gone out? Or maybe you've become a little more comfortable. Amen? Comfortable. Well, let's see what he has to say about that. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. You know, if you get too comfortable, you know, just at ease, that's what the Bible says, it calls it at ease. Say, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. You know, because they, you know, they have no urgency. You know, there is nothing that, you know, shakes them up. Well, Ephesians 5 and 14 will tell you. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Can you say amen? Well, it starts as a little slumber. It starts as a little folding of the arms. A little relaxation. The time when you should pray, a little prayerlessness. You know, then it becomes, you know, they go from slumber to sleep. You know, and finally it leads to being dead. Listen to it again. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. He's not talking to people in the graves. Hello? He's talking to the saints at Ephesus. Just like Jesus told them. You know, go back to your first love. Amen? Go back to your first love. Awake from sleep, from spiritual slumber. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But if we allow the things of the world to just take our minds off of the Lord, then a little lukewarmness, a little backsliding creeps in, and then before you know it, apostasy. Oh yes, spiritual apartheid. People don't care anymore about the people who are going to hell. You know, there is no fire burning, you know, in our soul. You know, the old prophet used to say that the word of God is like a fire in my soul. Is the word of God like a fire in your soul? Or is it just something, you know, that feels good when you come to church? You know, feels good, you enjoy it and so forth like that, you know. And then what? After church. Well, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, when the Lord resurrected, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Praise God. Well, I don't see those gifts operating in the church. Hello? I don't see the gifts. You know, because, you know, everybody leave it up to the pastor, you know, and so forth like that. Well, you know, that's not going to work. But let me tell you what happens. You know, let's say there are, I don't know how many people are here, you know, let's say there are 80, 100, whatever it is. And let's say everybody has a battery that is dead. And if I have a battery that is fully charged, how long do you think one battery is going to last to charge all the batteries that are in here? So I'm going to help. Amen? Before that battery charges one, two, or three, it will be dead itself. You know? But iron sharpeneth iron. Hallelujah, somebody. If you are cranked up, if you've got fire, you know, the reason why there is no revival, first of all, joy has withered from the sons of men. You know, the first love, the first joy, the rapturous joy that they had when they knew the Lord, when you couldn't put your Bible down, it's gone. Hello? The Bible has been replaced by the mouse, you know, or the television clicker, whatever you call it, and so forth like that, you know. Well, you know, you have your reward, say the Lord. But except a man will deny himself of the pleasures that he wants and take up his cross and follow me daily, he cannot be my disciple. Can I get somebody to agree with that? That's what Jesus said. You know. So, here's what I'm going to do today. You know, that old Pentecostal fire is what we need again. And we need that to be released again. We need that to be freed. Now, some of you had that fire, you know. So we need to free that fire again. Hallelujah. In fact, John the Baptist, he said, look, you know, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But there is one that is coming after me that is mightier than I, whose shoes are not even worthy to unlace. He, that's Jesus, shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. You know, there is no way, you know, that you can get all the things done, you know, for the kingdom of God without the Holy Ghost and fire in your life. And if you once had the Holy Ghost on fire, but perhaps, you know, the oil has leaked out or the fire has died, well, it is time to crank it up again. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. This is the resurrection message. Because that's what he did when he rose from the grave. He said, I want you now to go and wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard of me. Hallelujah. But I was then... the waiting and all of that and so forth, because that was the first time, but that was the birth of the church. That was not a revival. You can't revive something that did not exist. Hello? That was not a revival. That was the birth of the church. Now is when we need a revival, because the church is dying. Hello, somebody? The lamps are going out. The lamps are going out. Well, we're going to start to shake up some things in here. You know, in this church. Praise God. Praise God. Well, one of the reasons that God can't move, you know, first of all, like I said, you know, people are too wrapped up with their issues and things they have to deal with. In fact, people come to church. All right, as you're sitting here and praising the Lord and so forth, you're thinking of something else. Hello? Well, that's not going to work. You know, praise God. Or you're looking at your watch. You know, that's not going to work either. Or we got the whole service planned out. Well, the praise team are going to sing for 10 minutes. And then this person is going to come out and do this thing for 10 minutes. And then the pastor is going to come out and preach for 30 minutes. And then we're going to do this. And then we're going to say the grace. And then we're going to go home. Well, we need some changes. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. We need the Holy Ghost. I mean, I want to come to the service and not even know what the Holy Ghost is going to do. Praise God. I want to come and see, while the praise team are still singing, people begin to fall down in their seats. Hallelujah, somebody. Well, guess what? That's not going to happen as long as you guys and everybody thinks that the praise team is just to get us all warmed up. You know, the praise team, they come here a couple of hours before the service, and they're trying to get the service ready, and everybody comes in, you know, and they're just trying to warm up, you know, trying to wake up out of sleep and so forth like that. You know, you're supposed to be already charged. Amen. Before you come to church, and then you charge somebody that's sitting next to you. And if an unbeliever should come in, you say, "Behold, saith the Lord." And you bring out the word of God. You tell them something in their life. Oh yeah. Well, that's in the Bible. Some of you don't believe that stuff is in the Bible. Or you don't think that stuff is real. Is that stuff real? If I get anybody to believe that stuff is real, can you say amen? Yeah. That's right. Sure. It is real. You know, how is the Holy Ghost going to speak, you know, when the people's hearts, you know, are far away from Him? When their lips praise Him in the service, but their heart is something else that they did yesterday, or what they're going to do after service. Amen. Hello? You know, there was a time, you know, and if you've never experienced what I'm about to say, well, you need what I'm about to say then. But there was a time that some of you couldn't wait to get into service. There was a time that it was a fire in your bones that you would get up in the middle of the night and sing His praises all night long. Hello? There was a time when nobody could shut you up concerning Jesus Christ. But everywhere you went, because the fire of His love was burning in your heart. You know? And I know that some of you, you know, from Nigeria and so forth, other places like that, you know that you were all fired up when you were in that country over there. And then you come out to the United States and it's so easy, you know. You have all this gospel of convenience and all these things and so forth, you know, that people do here. You know, pretty soon we just blend in into that same culture, you know. And there's nothing fired up anymore. Well, you know, you can wish for revival, but it's not going to happen. Wishing doesn't bring revival. Amen, somebody. When you want revival, you got to go back to the place where you first believed. There's a song that says, "Take me back to the place where I first believed, where I first received you." You got to go back to your knees, where you used to cry upon the Lord, where you used to say, "Lord, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." And in those days, it wasn't a job that you were praying for. It was some stirring up of the Holy Ghost in your heart that you were praying for. Amen? That's right. Well, you know, I'm not making light that people need jobs and so forth like that. We understand that. You know, but don't you think the Lord understands that too? You know, if you are in here and you don't think that the Lord knows that you need a job if you need one, or you don't think that the Lord knows that you need whatever it is that you need in the material world, then you don't know anything about the Lord at all. Amen? He said, "Your heavenly Father already knows that you have need of these things." Praise God. Nobody should be spending their time praying for hours for something that God should do for them in the material world. That's nonsense. God already knows that you have a need. And if you are a child of God, God is duty bound to provide for your material needs. I have my children here. You know, all, some of them are all grown up now and so forth. But when they're growing up and so forth, it was my responsibility to put food on the table. Because they were my children. Hallelujah. They didn't have to beg me for the food. They didn't have to pray or do anything for the food. You know, I got to provide the food. Hallelujah. And I got to do everything else that, you know, makes children, you know, thrive in life. You know, that's my job as a father. Praise God. Now, of course, if the children were obedient children, you know, and if they did the will of the father, then there were some perks. Amen? There were some privileges, you know. But there's a difference between rights and privileges. Hello, everybody. Some of the things that you guys spend time praying for, those are your rights anyway.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I don't pray. I don't spend time praying that God should give me a job or do all these things and so forth like that. You know, because he already knows. He says, look, the lilies of the valley. See, they can't take care of themselves, but God takes care of them. You know, they don't toil, they don't spin, you know. Hallelujah. But yet Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. You know, and he said, look, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first that fire. Seek first that God will show you great and mighty things that you have not known. He said, I am the God of all flesh. Call unto me and I will show thee great and mighty. And I've been seeking the Lord all week and asking God, I said, I want those great and mighty things which I don't know. You know, by the grace of God, I am what I am.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen.
You know, by the grace of God, over the years, God has shown me many, many things. But it is nothing. I mean, I still don't know anything. But the Bible says, if any man thinks that he knows, amen? Or if he thinks he's wise, let him become a fool so that he may learn. And if any man thinks that he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, so it is time to seek the Lord. You know, it is time to ask for him to shake things up. And that shaking must start with each individual. Hello? Praise God. You know, we can come here and say, Lord, I'm going to shake some things up in the church and so forth. I know what God showed me already, but, you know, it's got to start with the individual. Praise God. You know, if you don't, you know, I mean, individual. The Bible says individual lively stones. Each stone lively. Upon one stone shall be the seven spirits of God. Upon every one soul shall be the fullness of God. That's what he wants. Not, you know, not this lukewarmness and so forth like that. You know, he wants us to be fully charged up. Praise God. Now I'm going to read Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, this thing saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Well, I like to call him the seven star general. Amen? Amen, amen somebody?
Amen.
Seven star general. Oh my goodness. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest but art dead. Amen? Well, that's why, oh, yes, brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, but you're really dead because you're not bringing forth any fruit. You know, one time Jesus, you know, he walked through from Bethany and he was going and he saw a fig tree afar off. And the fig tree had leaves. And it looked like, you know, it should have some fruit. Well, Jesus was trying to bring out a point, you know. So he went to the thing and said, you know, and he looked for the fruit. You know, because the tree looked like it was alive, but it was dead. Hello, somebody?
Yeah.
It had leaves and all that. So Jesus said, well, it looks, you know, got the leaves and everything. There must be some fruit. So he went there and he looked and there was no, absolutely no fruit. Even though the tree looked very good from afar off. So Jesus said, well, because you didn't bring forth fruit for the master. Amen? Even though the side commentary said it was not yet time for the figs, you don't think Jesus knew it wasn't time for the figs? You know, you're supposed to, the lamp should be burning every day. The wood should be put in the fire every morning. That fig tree had better produce some fruit, because you don't know the day that the Lord's going to show up and ask for the fruit. Amen, somebody? That fig tree said, well, it's not Sunday yet, so I don't need to do anything. Hello?
Yeah.
On Sunday, I'm going to get all dressed up. I'm going to get all religious. I'm going to go and shout the victory. You know? So, no. That's not what the Lord wants. That's not what the Lord wants. The Lord wants every day the wood should be put in the burning. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Every day. And so he told that fig tree, no man eat of you anymore from now on. The thing withered away. You know, and Jesus said, ye are the branches and I am the vine. In John chapter 15. And every branch in me that bringeth forth fruit, my Father will purge it, prune it, that's called pruning, so that he may bring forth more fruit. But every branch in me that bringeth forth not fruit is cut down, and it withered away, and men gather them and throw them in the fire. Hello, somebody? Did Jesus say that? You know, some people just read those things, just gloss over it and so forth. But he meant every word that he said. You better be bringing some fruit, or you're going to wither away. And that's why there's a lot of withering away. Once you stopped the things that were bringing fruit, like witnessing, like casting out devils, like setting people free, like healing the sick, you know, you're not doing those things, you know, then you just wither away. Then you just become another number in the church. Another somebody to come fill up the seat on Sunday. Amen?
Amen?
Just fill up the seat on Sunday. Say, oh yeah, church is full. You know, we all dress nicely and then we all visit each other after church and so forth like that. And then we all go home. Forget everything about the Lord until some calamity happens. Hello? Then we come running to the Lord. And the Lord said, I will laugh. You know, I will have them in derision in the day of their trouble. Because when they ought to have sought unto the Lord, they forgot all about me, said the Lord. And I also will turn my back. Say the Lord will turn, absolutely. You know, whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. Hello? If you don't sow any time for the Lord, you're not going to reap God's time. God is a God that barely hides himself. He wants the people stirred up. Stirred up. And hunger after him. And if we can stir ourselves up, and if we can cry out to God, if we can reach out to God, God will visit us. Because God is not a respecter of persons. Any person can have revival in their lives at any given time, if they go back to the place where they once received the Lord. And any group or church can have revival when the individual souls in that church are fired up. I know there are some revival seasons that God calls for. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about getting a hold on the Lord at any time, because God is not a respecter of persons. Hallelujah. If we get a hold of God, if we fire up the Spirit of God that is within us, we free that fire. And if you haven't experienced that fire, then you need that experience. I want us to stand to your feet, if you would please, here this morning, everybody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. On a day such as this, that we are commemorating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what good is it that Jesus died and rose again from the dead and so forth? I mean, if all it is, well, we just know that we are saved and so forth and we're going to heaven. you know, and all that. And that's all there is to it. You know, we do nothing more or less for the Lord. We just go in and out and carry on our business and so forth like that. And we're not bearing fruit. Remember the admonition of the Lord and the warning of the Lord today. Any tree or any branch in me, says the Lord, that does not bear fruit, it will be cut down and it will wither away. But here is good news. Every branch in me that bringeth forth fruit, the same is pruned by my Father, so that he may bring forth even more fruit. Because that's what the Bible says. He that has shall be given more. And he that has not, even that which he seemeth to have, shall be taken from him until he withers away. That's thus saith the Lord. Amen? That's right. You know, so, which one is it going to be? Are you going to be the person that's fired up for the Lord? I'm not talking about fired up only at church. I'm talking about fired up for the Lord. Church, home, school, work, grocery store, whatever. Hallelujah. Praise God. Fire up for the Lord. You know, a real Jew, you cannot separate for a real Jew. They don't have a secular life and a religious life. It's one and the same. You know. I mean, it's also our believers today that say, okay, well, you know, Monday through Saturday, I'm on my time. You know, but on Sunday, yeah, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to praise the Lord. Well, you're not on your time. You're never on your time. Hello, somebody. Well, if you think that you're on your time, well, that's why God can never interrupt your day. Because you already told him that you're on your time. So he just leaves you alone. But if you say, Lord, it's your time. Whether you're driving down the road or doing whatever you are, in the shower, in the classroom, in the walk or whatever, if you know that it's your time, he'll interrupt your day. Hallelujah. And he will bring you into a place where you can see real miracles. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. And I'm not talking about miracles only when you're just praying that God will do something for you. You know, well, that's good. But I'm not talking about that this morning. Let's pray for the kingdom of God for a change. Amen? Amen, somebody. I mean, you all have spent a lot of time praying that God should do this and do that, prosper your business, get you out of this and that and so on. And we all have done that all the time. You know? So let's pray for the kingdom of God for a change. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Hallelujah. You know, let's pray for some souls to be saved for a change. Let's pray for those who are afflicted and bound by the devil to be set free by the power of God for a change. Let's pray for the glory of God to descend in the house of God for a change. Hallelujah, somebody. Let's pray that next time, you know, one of these days when we come in here, you know, the house will be on fire. Hello? Somebody might call the ambulance. I mean the fire department. You know, because they'll see the fire, but the house will not be burned. Hallelujah, somebody! I'm looking for those days again. I've seen that when I was a young man. Happened all the time. You know, I don't know what happened. You know, I think I resemble this message myself. You know, I got to get that fire back in my soul. Hallelujah, somebody! And I believe you're going to be seeing some changes here, you know, even in the ministration and so forth through this summer. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
But I've been seeking the Lord and I say, Lord, so help me or I die. That's right. But what use is it really just carrying on? You know, I mean, I've been carrying on for a long time and so forth like that, you know. But I'm not going to die. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Until I see the King coming in his glory. Hallelujah, somebody. Praise God. Oh, I already know the secret of eternal life. Praise God. Hallelujah. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have that light of life. And I already know how to use that light of life. Hallelujah. You press hard enough into that light, one day you're gone. Hallelujah. Praise God. But while I'm still here, like Paul said, you know, he said, well, you know, I desire to go and depart from the Lord, but I want to stay here to help you. So, but while I'm still here, I want to do all that I can, so help me God by His grace. I want to see the great things that He said. We're going to see great things in heaven. You know, we know that. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking of right here on earth. Praise God. And if you keep believing all this fancy stuff in heaven, I can't believe that God can do the same things right here for you or not. That's like a hypocrite. You say, oh yeah, in heaven, you know, we're not going to be sick and so forth. Well, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. Hallelujah, somebody. God doesn't want us to be sick, even on earth. We don't need to wait on the heaven, because he came to set the captives free. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I want you to lift up your hands this morning. Praise God. And I say, you know, you say, I need that fire. Again, you know, if that's you in here this morning, well, here's what I'm going to do. You know, if you need that fire, if that fire has gone out, if you say, well, I have a name that I leave, but I'm dead. You know, I'm like a big brother, but really nothing happened in my life. You know, and so on. Well, now is a chance for you. Because Jesus, he rose from the grave. And he left captivity captive. And he gave gifts unto man. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to do this right now. I am going to ask. Nobody should look at their time, peace, or anything. Don't worry about that. I'm going to ask that if you want the Lord, free that fire in you once again, I want you to come quickly to this altar right now. And I am going to pray the prayer that is going to free that fire. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Now, we're not asking for God to heal you this morning. We're not asking for God to give you this or that. We're not asking that God should, you know, help you with your business. I'm not praying about that this morning. I do that every week here. You know, I'm not doing that here this morning. I'm talking about, you know, loving the Lord with all your heart. Panting after Him. Your soul panting after the Lord. Your heart beating so fast like it's going to burst. On account of the fire that is inside of you. That's what I'm talking about here this morning. I want you to begin to pray. Lift up your hands and begin to pray. Say it in your own words. You know, don't wait for me. Just say it in your own words. If you want that fire, don't never mind the person standing next to you on your left or your right. They are not going to help you. You know, get a hold of God yourself. You want that fire lit up in your soul again. You want that fire. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 And I know that many of the praise team are standing in there. You're standing there. You're in the praise team. You want that fire as well? That's good. I want the praise team, even though you're standing there, I want you to come up here, you know, and we will, the anointing of God is going to fall upon you just the same up here. And I want you to sing that song, Send Down Fire. Again. And I want everybody, I don't want anybody that is here to leave until you feel that fire. Don't leave until you feel that fire. And as they begin to play that song, and you all are here now, you were all standing down there, but you now came up here, you know, you begin, as you sing the song, you'll be praying for that same fire too. Don't just sing the song, you know, it's a prayer that God wants for us to do here this morning. Send down fire. Send down fire. Holy Ghost fire. send them. Why? Jesus. Lift up your hands. Send the fire, Lord. be prayed for. Please step forward. Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.